I'm Lynn Harris-Ballin, and this is What Feminism Sounds Like. And here are the voices of ConnectiPod, the youth podcast.
Hi, my name is Daniela Catalan, and this is ConnectiPod.
I'm Angelica Benitez,
Quicani Lopez,
and Vicky Benitez.
Dun, dun, dun.
Proceed.
You've got a voice, kid. Use it. That's the inspiring challenge from the folks at ConnectiPod, a youth journalist program for kids right here in LA. And we're joined today by ConnectiPod co-founders Betsy Foldes-Maiman and Andrea Longoria Lopez. And we're lucky to also have some of the youth journalists in studio with us as well. Do you want to introduce yourselves?
Yes. I am Angelica Benitez, 13, and I've been a member of ConnectiPod for 5 years, and I will read anything.
I'm Victoria Benitez. I am 10 years old. I have been a ConnectiPod member for 3 years, and I'm a Japan fanatic.
I'm Quicani Lopez, and I am 7 years old, and my name means singer in an Aztec language, and I am the newest member in ConnectiPod.
My name is Daniela Catalan, and I'm 13. I like the color purple, and I like to draw.
Thanks all for those great intros, and welcome all to Feminist Magazine. So, ConnectiPod is a monthly podcast. Betsy, let's start with you.
Okay.
How did this whole thing start?
Well, we were working at an after-school program. I volunteered. I actually got a ticket.
Okay.
And I decided to work it off at MEND, who I've worked with in the past.
Uh-huh.
And I realized in tutoring these kids that that podcasts would be a really great vehicle to teach literacy, to teach tech, to teach STEM, the science of voice and the science of recording. And also it would get them off of worksheets and the things that are, like, hard to focus on when you, you know, and hard to learn from sometimes because they don't keep your focus. And sure enough, it was, and they just ran with it.
Wow, and you actually have a background in voiceover and radio yourself.
That's right. I've been a professional voiceover artist for 20 years now.
And Andrea, how did you get involved?
Well, I come from a nonprofit background, and I've worked with tutoring programs for a very long time. I've tutored everywhere from elementary age kids to adult students. And so when Betsy came in, I used to supervise the program that she volunteered for. And when she brought in the podcast as a teaching tool, I really began to see it as a vehicle for teaching everything from science to public speaking to really a vehicle for learning about new careers. And so I saw it as something more than a podcast show as the finished product. I really started to see it as a process.
Right, the process more than the podcast. So basically, you do this monthly podcast, and you all come together and work on it, putting all the pieces together. And I know what it takes to put together a radio show. So it's all of this background work, picking the stories, finding the guests, doing the research. So I want to hear from all of you a little bit about how you all do this and, you know, what you enjoy most about it. I first heard about ConnectiPod when I heard a podcast where a friend of mine, Jessica Jewell, was interviewed. And I think actually three of you interviewed her for that. She asked such great questions. What made you choose to interview Jessica, who works for Tree People? What was interesting about her for the story?
We really like to interview people who have an impact or who are working to have an impact here in the world, like anybody who is a hard worker, anybody who is, yes, working hard to make a change in today's world. We really like people who find a different perspective in how they view the world, like people who go beyond the box.
And she sure does.
Yes.
So tell me, Vicky, you were part of that interview as well about Tree People. And what did you learn from talking to her?
Well, what I learned is that it amazes me how they get the word out and then, like, how they work, like, taking care of the trees and how they work and how Jessica Jewel, like, made her steps up to the place she is there.
Kwikani, so you weren't part of that interview. Have you done any interviews yet with ConnectiPod?
Yes, I've done the Halloween one. It was a story, and it was called The Owl and the Ghost That Follows It.
Very cool. And last but not least, Daniela, tell us a little bit about what your most favorite one is that you've worked on of the podcast so far.
Well, I think it was my first one, because that one was when I started to kind of get used to the mic, and I was soft, like my voice was soft and quiet, and I was nervous, like I am now.
Uh-huh.
And, well, I was kind of scared, to be honest, because I'd never done this before, but it was a new thing for me.
Yeah, it definitely takes practice. I was saying to one of your moms earlier that you are the future of radio. We're really happy that you're like learning all this tech and skills and interviewing and all of this kind of thing. So tell me, Angelica, what was the most surprising thing you've ever learned when you've been preparing for a podcast?
I think that one of the most surprising things we learn when making podcasts is how we can convert our idea into like reality, how like we go from concept to like actually placing that idea in action. Like maybe we can suggest like, oh, what if we interview this person, and sooner or later we're like working everything out and boom, we're there.
This process, right?
Yes.
It's kind of magical. Mm-hmm. It really is. And then you get to like put that out into the world and people get to hear the story.
That's kind of a newer thing. So everything has been incremental about like what is the challenge. And I put the challenge out to them and said, you know, what ideas do you have? What do you want to do? And Angie suggested the Guide Dogs of America because that interested her. And I said, great, run with it. And she did. So Angie, how old are you? You're 13 now, right?
Yes.
So at 12, she contacted Guide Dogs of America. She had to do 4 different times to finally get the right person.
Right.
She scheduled a prep session, mm-hmm. where her intended audience, she had to prep them with exercises from Guide Dogs of America. They wanted her to do exercises so people could understand what it was like to be blind. Ran that. Everybody worked together, but she ran it. And then the following week, they came and they sent a guide dog and they sent a trainer. And she scheduled that, and then in front of 50 people, she live translated into Spanish everything the guide dog trainer was saying. And then afterwards, we interviewed them, and she ran it from soup to nuts, and she's 12.
Well, we're very much looking forward to hearing that podcast.
Oh.
All right. Andrea, tell me a little bit about what you see, like how the process is growing and really kind of developing the group that's part of this.
Well, working with students for so long, I recognize when students enjoy when they're learning. And also, you can kind of see that moment when the student gets it, when they get the concept, or when it finally makes sense to them, when confidence is growing in the student. And podcast is the forum where those things can happen. You can see those changes taking place. And I've seen growth in every student that has ever participated in this program, which is really nice. It's really nice to see the growth in the public speaking skills, the growth in the confidence, the self-assurance, sort of those intangibles that maybe the students don't necessarily get graded on in school or in other areas. But you can see that these skills are applicable in other parts of life. And so another thing that I really love about this project is that we meet every student that participates where they're at. And the other students that have maybe been in it longer and have grown and already shown growth help the other students along. I think that peer mentorship is something that's very difficult to teach. And when it happens, it's golden. You want students to learn from teachers, but you also, you know, you want them to learn from adults, but you also want peers to learn from one another and to teach one another. And that is a really beautiful thing. Podcast really fosters that.
And there's a sort of a skill sharing and a having each other's back aspect. That's golden life lessons. Like, yeah.
It really is. It's the idea that everybody has something of value to contribute. Age, no matter your educational background, everyone that comes to podcast, everyone that comes to ConnectiPod has something valuable to contribute.
Well, we're going to go to the two quiet voices over there and ask how you two got involved, Kwikani and Daniela.
So I got involved because my mom told me, she said it was a writing program, and I was like, okay.
it turned out to be a podcast, and it wasn't at all what I was expecting, and I was surprised. Because when I got there, like, they had the recording material and everything, and I was like, but I thought this was supposed to be a writing program.
And Kwikani, how about you?
My mom thought it was a great program for me, so she signed me up for it. And the first day I was kind of nervous, but in 2 days I was not nervous because I believed in myself.
Aww. You believed in yourself, and you still do. To let our listeners know, tell us about MEND and the program. Is that where the program is based, or is that where it started?
That was where it started. Huh? I was the youth services coordinator out in MEND for just over 5 years.
And MEND stands for?
Meet Each Need with Dignity.
Okay.
They're an amazing poverty relief organization based out of Pacoima. And that was the after-school program where I was working at, where the podcast project sort of started.
And it started as just a way, as I said, really for literacy and for self-confidence. That's what the original idea was. And then as they met each challenge, we took it further. And this wasn't the original. There have been, you know, different groups coming in and out. So, you know, these guys have been the longest and the strongest, but we've had lots of kids come through.
As it grew, and as I would say at least 20 kids, if not more, have cycled through this program, we really believed in the potential of this. I had to leave MEND earlier this year to take care of some family medical issues. And when I did it, I had this opportunity to sort of pursue some, like, social enterprise type of stuff that I had always been interested in, but never really had the time to do. And so I thought, why not really try this? And why not flesh out the podcast and really make it into a lesson plans and a teaching curriculum that had never been on paper before? And so, you know, we decided to get together and write those lessons plans down and create a structured program that didn't really exist before on paper.
There had been a challenge over the years and that I had met. So the first one was literacy, then it was technology, then it was the science of it, and the byproduct of it was the self-esteem and the confidence and the public speaking.
Mm-hmm.
But then as they met each challenge, I took it further. So it's like, okay, what can we teach them now? Let's teach them about, you know, writing and researching.
Right.
And then it's about interviewing. So we started interviewing just people around that we knew so that they could get comfortable with it. And then we started reaching out, like we said, okay, so let's go further, but still within the community. And in Pacoima, there are these beautiful murals everywhere.
Right. We've actually had the Hood Sisters on our show.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, we got in touch with Levi Ponce, who also was from Pacoima.
Right.
And he was great. He came down and he talked to the kids and they let him interview him. And so then it's, how do you prepare for an interview for somebody that you don't know? How do you write your questions? How do you research them? And we were lucky enough to have Sylvia Lopez was a friend of MEND, and she said, let me do whatever I can. And so we took her up on it.
Uh-huh.
We reached out, and we ended up going to KCAL 9.
Well, KCAL 9 was one of my most, like, favorite places to go to, mostly because I asked her, like, questions of how many times I had to fill her in with that. And then I also liked it because we also got to see the studio, like all the tech lightings and the different jobs that they have.
I really liked that interview because it was a really different experience from, like, our usual community-based background. It was really different from what we were used to, and seeing how we had to really understand who we were interviewing, what was our purpose, and how, like, what questions we were going to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And how to react to responses, and it was a really new experience for us.
Who listens to your podcast, and what kind of feedback do you get?
We put it on Podbean. We put it through our website. It also goes through went through MEND's website for a time. We were still there, and it goes out through Instagram, Twitter. I mean, whoever wants to listen to our podcast can listen to ConnectaPod, so tune in.
When we did our interview with Daniel Handler, I threw out the idea. I was joking, and we actually made it a reality. And I was like, oh, let's just do Lemony Snicket, like, as a joke. But then it actually happened. And
wow, and he's the author, for our listeners who might not know. He's the author of the Lemony Snicket entire collection of books and stories.
Yeah,
and I was surprised, and we actually got to interview him. And I was like, whoa, because, like, I didn't expect it.
Now, the lesson that was supposed to go along with them, we were trying to teach them that you get a lot of rejection.
Sure.
And rejection is not a bad thing.
Right.
Rejection is just part of what it is. And so, yes, it's a lesson for a podcast, but it's a lesson for life. You know, you're going to have to come up against no way more than you come up against yes, and that shouldn't deter you. So I was trying to teach them about rejection, and I said, "Who, if you could interview anybody, who would it be?" And Daniela said,
"Daniel Handler."
And I was like, "Okay, let's go find out. Let's go find out how we get in touch." And so we found Lauren Sarand, who was his publicist, and I wrote to her. Through her website, and we were totally expecting a no, which is what I was, and she said yes. She wrote back like in an hour and said, yes, sure, he'll do it. And then we set it up, and how did we do the interview?
Well, we did it on a Skype call, and we recorded it, and we didn't get to see him, but at least we got to talk to him.
All right. So you've got this whole range of skills that you learn, and I saw that you have these 8 points of your plan. You sort of see that the participants, what are you, the connector podders?
Podists,
yes. The connector podistas.
Yeah.
You know, you're going through all these steps, and so there's like tech involved, there's math involved in the editing process, and there's all these various skill building things. So what do you feel would be next for you in terms of where you hope the program is going to go with all these great skill building levels?
One of the things I really love that we're doing right now, and there are several things, but we're trying to bring on more reporters.
Right.
So that's why we want to grow and have people go through our program that we have. So we want to get scholarships to go to schools and programs that can't afford this kind of learning. And we want to take it to them and have the kids go through that program and then bring them on as reporters. They can, after they go through it and understand what they're doing, then they can submit stories to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we have these packages that we've been putting together called Roving Reporter Kits. And it has an Apogee mic in it. It has an iPhone. And it has Twisted Wave on that phone. And with that, kids can do a really good level story.
Wow.
And then they have to learn how to write and research and do all those things that go with it. So we want to take that program here, you know, in Los Angeles and anywhere in the country, and we can work anywhere. Can't really tell you all the program yet, but we have people that will work with us, like over in Africa and in Malaysia, and we would Skype with the kids. They would get the kit. We would do the class with the kit, and we would have somebody on the ground to work the games with them. And then when they're done, we would get the stories, can keep the kit, and then do stories and send them to ConnectiPod. That's one of the things that we want to do. And that kind of came about because one of the things we try to do is say, you turn needing into leading, right? Speak out, reach out, turn needing into leading. Because when you're leading, you don't have time to feel bad. You're empowered in that way, right? You don't have time to look behind you. And so when things were happening this year that were kind of difficult, like all the refugee crisis and the things that were hurtful, right, how do we can feel bad or we can do something. So we went through the UNHRC, the United Nations Refugee Crisis. We found an organization in Malaysia. It was the Malaysian Social Research Institute, MSRI, and we found them, and they are a program very similar to what these guys were doing, but it was a kind of a gap stop so that refugee children wouldn't lose their education, running after-school education and interim education. And we found them, and we coordinated with them, with their youth coordinator, and we had our kids Skype with their kids. So they were in Malaysia. We were here. That's like part of the name. The pod is we want to connect kids. We want to connect them to their own ability, to their own communities, to the world, to the issues that they want to talk about, and to each other.
So, right, really with the idea that better things happen when we realize that we are all connected and that we are all much more the same than we are different. And those, you know, I think that our kids demonstrate that when they talk to the kids, when our kids talk to the kids in Malaysia, we thought that they were going to be learning lots of new things. What did you all end up talking about? You knew the same video games.
Yes.
Same YouTube videos. They followed. They talked about pizza. I mean,
snow.
Yeah, they talked about, like, kid stuff.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And these are kids half a world away. And so I think that's really what ConnectiPod is all about, is making those connections across society, across our city, across our nation, across the globe, and finding out how we can support each other and what ways we can, you know, make other connections that will be beneficial to everybody involved.
You know, so we just got our 501c3. We're officially a nonprofit.
So the GoFundMe has a couple of samples of podcasts, a little video story about ConnectiPod. Mm-hmm. And what's the link where folks can find that?
You can go to connectapod.net, and mm-hmm. it has everything. And we've actually also just opened a store to sell things on our thing, so that also helps us fundraise.
Cool.
And that will be artists. So their art, artist friends that we have that are selling their things, they're donating it for us to sell in our store. So it's like for your Christmas shopping.
Fantastic.
But it's really fun because it's artists supporting artists.
So, yeah. And we'll make sure to put that link on our social media as well.
Oh, fantastic.
All right. So one last thing. Let's go around the table and say, what would you like to tell Feminist Magazine listeners?
Working with Connectapod, I have seen the most amazing mentorship from the different women that we've interviewed. Jessica Jewell gave mm-hmm. so much of her time and talked to our students like the professionals that they are. She certainly talked to them as equals, and I didn't expect that. And I think also Sylvia Lopez, all of the professionals that we've interviewed have given mentorship in a way that I didn't expect. And so I've come to see Connectapod as something that can foster that, one generation fostering the next.
Mm. No, that's true. I mean, I love seeing how much and how quickly they have grown.
Mm.
And now it's to the point where they're constantly challenging me too. So it forces us to grow because, you know, if we've challenged them, now it's their turn to challenge us. So I'm really excited to see where we go from here.
I really appreciate Connectapod from the day it started because it allowed me to find my voice. And over time, it has helped me grow out of my shell and express my opinion, my thoughts, my ideas over a topic, and how to grow my perspective of the world and how to create an impact.
Well, I first started Connectapod. I wasn't really interested, but my mom joined me there because I didn't speak a lot. So that then when I went there, after 1 year, I started getting the hang of it, so I liked it by then. And then that's when I realized that I could find my inner voice and that Connectapod helped me find it.
My favorite thing is that we get all to record in the same place. We all have ideas. We get to inspire ourselves. We get all our minds and all our ideas out. We share them out to the world and that's all I can say.
Well, when I came to Connectapod, I was like this little caterpillar who wouldn't say anything, but then it helped me grow and turn into a huge butterfly. And I was quiet, and I almost never talked, and Connectapod helped me grow my confidence and helped me grow as a person.
Wow. Well, thank you all so much. It's been an amazing honor to have you here joining us on Feminist Magazine. And I want to thank Betsy Folders-Myman and Andrea Longoria-Lopez. And the girls of Connectapod, please say your names for us one more time so our listeners can know who you are and remember all of what you've brought to the program today.
Angelica Benitez.
Victoria Benitez. Guigani Lopez.
Daniela Catalan.
The girls of Connectapod, the Connectapodistas. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for your time.